What are your most cherished memories from your playing days, though? Are there any particular matches and or incidents that stand out?
Well, from my playing days, the one game which I remember was when I was playing for Cheltenham, actually. We were playing Wasps. This is in about 1957. And Wasps in those days had a very fine side. There was Yarrington, Syrett. Don Rutherford was playing at fullback for them. He was doing his national service somewhere. And Gordon Bendham, but they had a very fine side. They were one of the best in the country. And it was in the days when you didn't have replacements. And we had one of our players, a chap called Keith Stooksbury, who went off injured about a quarter of an hour before the end. And yet we still held out and we won. And I never forget that game, but that was at the Wasps in London. And that was it was quite an achievement because, as I say, 14 men. But sometimes you play better when you had 14 men. So it was, nowadays, I can't seem to get in when the replacements flood onto the pitch and they've got a new team almost before the end.
Yeah.
But in those days, with when the ruling was that you had no replacements. So that game stands out, and although we never beat Cardiff at Cardiff when I was playing, but we did get near to it one night. I think we lost in about the last quarter of an hour, and we swear to this day, you ask Mickey Booth and a few others, that the wing three quarter went round the touch judge, and the Cardiff touch judge, who was a barbarian, didn't flag it. He let it go, and the player went on and scored, and they beat us. But they wouldn't admit it. I won't mention any names, but that was about the nearest we ever got at Cardiff. We used to beat Cardiff not regularly, but at King's Home, we were up to it. But
was that the year you were captain, that match you were talking about at Cardiff?
I think it may have been,
because,
actually.
Because Cardiff won 10-6.
Yeah. I'm almost certain it was.
And then you won at Kingsholm.
Yes, yeah.
You won the return at Kingsholm 6-0.
Yeah, but that was the nearest I ever got to at Cardiff, because at Cheltenham we used to play Cardiff home and away. Gloucester only played them away one season, home the next season.
Ah, they did play twice that season.
Did they?
The season you were captain.
Ah, they must have done.
They played twice. Yeah.
But anyway, I think it was that season. It was an evening game, midweek. I'm almost certain it was, and Roy Long was playing, and Ken Wilson, who played for England, I think he was playing probably in the back row for us that night. Because that was one thing at Gloucester. It helped you. Well, what I'm trying to explain is that I was probably the prop with Roy Fogue, and you had to be a bloody good prop to put aside a position, even whether you were international or not. And Gloucester were very good to their players. They played them in position and that. And I think Ken Wilson had to play in the back row or something that day. But we got near to Cardiff. I think they've beaten Cardiff since then, of course, Gloucester. But Gloucester didn't win at Cardiff from 1933 until another 30 odd years, I think, after.
Yeah,
must have been.
Yeah.
Because undoubtedly, although if we were honest with ourselves, Cardiff were the finest club in the world at that time. They were outstanding, and it remained like that for many, many years.
Yeah. Well, even back in the 19th century, Gloucester used to measure whether they were having a good season by the results against the Welsh clubs.
Oh yeah, well,
particularly the Big Four.
Well, you never had an easy game against the Welsh clubs. Yeah. Never. It's changed, but you never. Gloucester always had prime fixtures with the Welsh clubs: Cardiff, Swansea, Newport,
Llanelli.
Now at Cheltenham, when I started off, they had what was considered not first. Well, we did play Cardiff, but we played Newbridge, Pontypool, Pontypridd, who became much stronger sides. But we didn't play Swansea, and we didn't play Newport. When it came to Gloucester, it was the stronger Welsh side.
Yeah. And you played quite a lot of Wednesday evening games against Welsh sides.
Oh yes, it was usually a midweek game in Wales, and I can remember many times working in the bank, just sort of finishing them, ready to run to the station and get on. I can remember one game. I ran from the bank, ran to the station, got on the train, got down to Newport, and bloody hell, oh, excuse the language, but I have the bank keys in my pocket. Oh, so I had to ring up and say, oh, Mr. Thompson, I've got the bank key. But one thing with banking in those days, they were very sports-minded.
Yeah.
Today, it's a different ballgame. And then he didn't tell me off a great deal, but he had to go through all the routine of getting the duplicate keys out of Lloyd's Bank round the corner to lock the bank up that night. So the next day I came back sheepishly. But they were always very sport-orientated, the banks. And the managers usually had played rugby, so they were... Mm. My first manager in Cheltenham was a chap called Glenn Dash. He played second row for New Brighton, I think it was. His father was a harbour master up there. He went to a public school, St. Bees. But we used to work Saturday mornings. And when I came from Cheltenham to Gloucester the first time, he'd asked George Hastings, or George Hastings said to him, would it be all right for him to get him off, sort of thing? And... the Ross committee had asked him to inquire, and he said, well, there should be no difficulty, because we had one Saturday morning off a month. Anyway, it worked out all right, but I can remember the times, which I know you wouldn't have it nowadays. He used to tap me on the shoulder, and he'd say, where are you playing this weekend? And I was playing at a Netley or something like that. It was difficult to get away on time. So I used to get into the bank, and then he'd come around and balance my cash. And I used to worry stiff when I was playing with him. But he Monday, it's all right. And he did that on two or three occasions. But those are the sort of managers they were. And the same when I came to Gloucester. It was Mr. Thompson, Mr. Harbitt. They were all very, very supportive. But that nowadays, that's changed completely.
Well, maybe we should write to the Prime Minister and explain it's all gone wrong because banks aren't run by rugby players anymore.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. Yeah.
Right. Any other matches that particularly stand out in your memory before we move on, Alan?
Well, I'm just trying to recall. It was always a hard game when we were at King's Home, but...
I've got a couple of matches from the years you were captain, because there were some good performances that year, and there was a 19-0 win against Wasps that I noticed at King's Home in the January of the year when you were captain. I don't know whether you can remember that.
No, we beat them 19-0, did we?
Yeah, indeed. Well, Yarranton and all, yes.
Were they, did we?
Yeah.
Well.
And there was a chap playing for you at flank forward, a Scottish international.
Gilbert Smith.
Called David Stewart. Captain David Stewart Gilbert Smith.
Yes.
How did he come to play for Gloucester?
Well, he was a very strong player actually. He came. I'm almost certain it was the SAS at Hereford.
Ah.
I think he came there actually, but he was wing forward, and he passed away actually about three or four years ago, I think, in Tewkesbury. He came back and retired at Tewkesbury. But that was his history as far as... I think he only stayed with us about two seasons. David Gilbert Smith.
Yeah.
But, he was a very strong forward.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. SAS, eh?
I think I'm more certain.
I did wonder when I saw that he was an army captain.
Yeah, I'm more certain he was based at Hereford.
Yeah.
And he came that season.
Yeah, because he was capped against England when he was only 20.
Yeah.
But he didn't play again for Scotland. Yeah, I wondered about him. It was just a name that suddenly appears.
Yeah, an unusual name. But we'll put our name in the Gloucester side. It's very unusual, isn't it?
Very unusual.
We've got Simpson Daniel.
Well, now, yes. But
yeah, but in those
pre-professional
days...
Pre-professional, it was very unusual.
So he stood out like a sort of them, this job. That's interesting. Very SAS.
That I might be wrong, but I'm almost certain it was...
That seems logical, doesn't it?
That style of army.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know where he went after he left Gloucester, but he came back and retired and lived just outside Tewkesbury.
Oh.
And he passed away about... 4 or 5 years ago.
You also had a great win against Leicester, I think, that season, 15-3.
Did we?
No, sorry, I tell a lie. Let's have a look. 26-11 against Leicester.
Was that?
That was unusual
that
for
was,
those
that
days.
Was, that was King's Hall, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We did quite well against the teams like Leicester. In fact, you could hold. A Gloucester fixture list. I always used to take pride in when I'd left Gloucester and they were saying this, that and the other. I said, well, what fixture list have you got? And they'd get their fixture list out. And I said, and I'd cross them out on the Gloucester list. And we had one of the strongest fixtures in England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they got down, they got down to scratching for fixtures, we still had a strong fixture because geographically we were all right for Wales.
Yeah.
We were all right for the Midlands.
Yeah.
And London.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
It's noticeable from the early days of Gloucester that was true, and a lot of it then was the shape of the rail network.
Was it?
You know,
yeah.
You could get to a lot of first-class rugby
yeah.
club by rail from Gloucester.
Yeah, I'm certain that's the case.
Yeah, that 15-3 win, in fact, was the win against Bristol, and I imagine significantly it was John Bayliss who scored the two tries.
Was it? Yeah.
Because they were his sort of match,
yeah.
weren't they? The Bristol games.
Yeah. But yeah, well, Bristol were a good side in those days, of course. The John
yeah.
Blake era, he was an outstanding captain
yeah.
for Bristol. And he played for Somerset in the county rugby, and then he came to Gloucestershire after that.
Mm.
But Bristol were Bristol fashion in those days. They had a strong side in
yeah.
Derek Neat and Rollitt, I think, about that time. And
yeah, Blake was playing in the centre in that game, but he played outside half.
Yeah,
half
normally
yeah.
played outside
yeah.
half, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And Bill Redwood was at scrum half in that
yes,
game.
Yes, Bill, yes.
John
yeah.
Pullin at hooker. Hazel was propping.
Yeah.
Watt, base, Neat,
oh,
terrific
yeah.
side.
Yes.
Terrific side.
Yeah.
yeah, good win that.
And it's very sad that the fact they've, after all that, they went down last year because. I know they got so close to staying up, didn't they, in
yeah.
the playoffs? But that's where it is in the professional side. You,
mm.
that was in the olden days. You had a traditional fixture list, and there was no sort of leagues or anything like that. So you knew if you lost heavily this week, you were still going to play next week. So there was that little bit of pressure off. In fact, it was difficult to get fixtures because they were so traditionally set up. I can remember when I was fixture secretary of Froome in Somerset, and to get other ones, you'd have a hell of a job, you know. Oh, are you good enough for it, sort of thing? But nowadays, it's a matter with the league. At least they can go up through and reach their level.
Yeah.
But now that professionalism has come into cash comes into it a great deal as well, so that restricts it.
Yeah.